Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, we would like to thank you for joining us on tonight, brothers and sisters and all of our people that are in the faith, every listener out there in the highways and the byways. Welcome to, again, another show of Theologically Speaking. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. I'm very elated to have hosted this show and been given the opportunity by our executive producer, James Brown Jr. Thank you so much for allowing us to have this platform and to stand and present and actually proclaim God's word. It's a privilege to be able to share and bring perspective. It is our intention to be very thought-provoking in helping people of God or curious believers and even unbelievers understand what is it that we really believe, expound on our doctrine, and have really sometimes tough theological conversations. Some people may not be willing to have these theological conversations. It's understandable, but in reality, the Bible teaches us that we ought to always be ready to give an defense or make a stance, if you will, for what we believe. And so this is one of those shows that everyone might not walk away from the table happy and even on one accord with what has been stated. I challenge you to let the Word of God be that standard, stand on. And so if you think that I've misrepresented the Word of God in any kind of way, please don't hesitate to reach out to us, call us, let us know, let's have a conversation about it. It doesn't have to be on the air, but let's have a conversation about it. And furthermore, if you have any questions about anything that we talked about and you would like to for us to address it on the airwaves, please don't hesitate to give us a call or send us a text. Right now, you can reach me at 313-221-7600, 313-221-7600. When I'm on the show, you can text me a question if you would like, if it's relevant to the conversation, and we will do our very best to try to address whatever that question is. All right, without further ado, I would like to first go into prayer. Before we actually begin this show, I think it's very important that we always seek the blessings of deity before we have any serious undertaking in our lives, and that's in anything that we do. So let us pause for the cause right now, and let's go before the throne of grace. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we bless your name, Lord. We thank you for all that you've allowed us to experience on today. We thank you for giving us another day of grace and mercy. God, we ask that you continue to just lift us up as we humble ourselves unto you. As we approach you in faith, God, continue to illuminate our hearts and minds, endow us with competencies of your divine wisdom so that we may be able to see through the wiles of the enemy and see through the tricks of philosophies and modern-day thinking so that we can lift you up, God, with the standard that you've given us, your word. Continue to allow your light so shine within us, God. Give us the strength and courage to take those lights out into a dying world where it's darkness, where it's dreadfulness, and where things is dreary and dismal. Give us the strength and courage to be able to stand and declare that not only we are your people, God, but we actually stand for the word of God. Continue to let us be beacons of light unto men. And we pause to give, to take a moment to meditate on some of those who are sick and shut in, sick and afflicted. Lord, we ask and specifically for that you touch James Brown and his family. As his father is in stages of cancer, we know that doctors and nurses and medical staff, they may be able to administer to him physically. But, Lord, we know that spiritually all things are divine, decently working in your order. Lord, we also ask that you touch Jamie. Lord, we ask that you touch her in her heart, touch her in her mind, touch her in her spirit, so that, Lord, as she's healing in her body, that she'll also heal in her psyche. Continue to give her strength and love and support all around us. Touch our little church, God. We ask that you bless Center of Spirit and Truth. Bless us that, Lord, if we don't get another member walk through the door, we still trust and believe you for whatever it is that you're doing in our ministry. We recognize that growth doesn't necessarily have to be by numbers, but it can be by faith. Lord, it can be by us understanding our Christian walk a little bit better. Continue to enrich us as you see fit, not according to how we dream in our physical, but how you see fit to bless us spiritually. Continue to reign afresh in our lives. Let husbands and wives come back together again. Let families begin to operate decently in order. Let, Lord, even the contention that we might have amongst friends and family members subside. Even church members in the church house, let us come together on one accord. We bless you now, and we pray that you just deal with us, keep us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen. Well, listen, I'm very elated once again to have this opportunity to share with you on today. I didn't take any particular passage of Scripture because today's conversation, if you will, and that's really what it is more of talk. On this show, one of the things that I would like to do is have a bunch of different types of shows. There's no one set format. So one day it might be talk. Another day it might be a sermon. I might have a guest. You just never know what might come your way. I encourage you to tune in and see. But today we're talking about holiday talk. Holiday talk. Tis the season. This is the season where we go out and we just get involved in all the propaganda and the commercialism, and society has told us it's the most wonderful time of the year. So, you know, if it's the most wonderful time of the year, let us begin to ponder to ourselves and ask why. Because it's Christmas, someone might say. It's Christmas, yay. Children are excited. We go out and we spend all this money. And then if you look at, like, reports, there's a few times of the year where consumerism is at its highest. One of those times of year is Christmas. So are they selling us, society? Is society selling us holidays? Or are they selling us holy days? Now, you're going to catch this in a minute, because there's a difference between a holy day and a holiday. Well, let us analyze this. This is one of the times of the year where depression is among its highest. This is one of those holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. It's one of those times where families begin to turn against family, and drunkenness and depression and drug use, all that stuff is up. It's drastically increased around the holidays. I just really want to pause to analyze what are these holidays really all about? What are we truly celebrating? As you know, if you've listened to me before, that's one of the ways where I'm always going to try to challenge us in the body of Christ. We need to start thinking more spiritually than societally. I was talking about this yesterday when we did Bible study. We have to be careful about what the masses are doing. And you know, it was a play on words. the masses. If you actually move the M over, it'll be them asses. And I mean that as in, like, if you go with the crowd will make a donkey out of you. So don't nobody get offended. I use that in proper context. And one of the examples that I really use, and I'm going somewhere with this, the example that I use was Moses. Moses has just, through the power of God, delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. They come out of Egypt, and then here they are. They up, you know, Moses part out in the mountain. He goes up into the mountain, I'm sorry. I want to get my story straight. And as he's up in the mountain, they go to Aaron. They say, we want you to build for us a God that we can worship. Moses been up there too long. We don't know what happened to him. So here it is. The masses saw fit to operate according to their own measure of good and evil. We call that relativity. Relativity, where good or moral or morals are only relative to what you believe. So forget the fact that God had been dealing with them, God had delivered them, God did miracles for them, God allowed them to be delivered. So forget all that. They still had the mentality that they wanted a God that they could worship, because the God that they had obviously wasn't good enough. And so when we look at these different holidays, I challenge us in the body of Christ to ask, what are the holidays? What are we celebrating? Are we celebrating a holy day or a holiday? Is this really good enough? Is this an offense to God? What exactly are we doing when we go out? Now, come on, Reverend. Come on, because somebody, you know, we got to go by titles. Come on, Pastor Jose. When there's nothing wrong with trees, or don't take Santa Claus away from the kids, or don't take the holiday celebration away from them. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, let's analyze this real quick. When we look at Santa Claus, where does Santa Claus really come from? If you even do the history of Santa Claus, we believe that there was an actual man by the name of Saint Nick that went around helping children who were sick and afflicted. And so that's not a sexy story, though. That's not a sexy story. We couldn't leave it right there. We have to puff it up for propaganda and commercialism. And so now we dress him up in a red suit. And we make him look cute, and we say he live in the North Pole, and he got flying reindeer, and he come down chimneys. And so here it is, family, beloved, because somebody got a Christmas tree up, and I'm not knocking you for your Christmas tree. I'm asking you to examine the truth behind your tree. Hey, examine the truth behind your tree. Where does Christmas tree come from? What does the tree have to do with Christ? And so here it is. We look at the different things, see, because commercialism, the clause and the tree is designed to rob Christ off the cross. it's designed to really rob us of the story of the cross. The whole ideology behind Christmas, it should be that we've decided, rather than to celebrate paganism, that we've decided that we would celebrate something that is spiritual, something of Christ. So here it is, we begin to look at a paganistic holiday. One of the paganistic holidays was Saturnalia. I'm kind of giving my notes away for those that actually attend the church. I'm going to preach about this more in depth on Sunday. If you would like to, you can please feel free to come and join us out on Sunday, 17609 Livernois in Detroit, Michigan. We are Center of Spirit and Truth. You want to hear more about this? We're going to be talking about how Jesus stole Christmas. The original setup of Christmas was actually paganistic. Of course, it wasn't called Christmas. But so then we have to actually do our history, and we look at certain things. Well, how did Christmas come about? Well, we have the Emperor Constantine. Constantine decided that since he had a vision, since he had a dream, and he decided to switch to from his paganistic worship practices over into being Christian. He was hooked, line, and sold because he had a vision, and he went out and he won a battle because of this vision he attributed to. He decided to rename this paganistic holiday, Saturnalia, to Christmas. And so here it is. We get Christmas. It's supposed to be about the celebrating of the birth of Christ. Now, when we do our study, we understand that Jesus wasn't even born in December. So even if, people of God, we decided to just go and celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ, I'm not even knocking that. What I challenge us to do, is look at the commercialism aspect of it. This is one of the times where we get so broke. We do the most damage to our families financially out of trying to do something good because we've been hook, line, and sinker, bought into this paganistic mode of thinking. Because many of us, though we are Christian, we're still going to take our kids and send them on some fat guy's lap at some mall somewhere. We're going to have a picture of Santa Claus somewhere. And we're going to say that we stand for the truth. Tell our children to tell the truth. We're going to tell our children to tell the truth. No matter what, you better tell you. You better tell your daddy the truth. Tell your mama the truth. Right now, I want you to tell me, what did you do? What did you, you better not lie to me. I do not tolerate lying in this house. But you lied on Christmas. You lied on Thanksgiving. You lied at Easter because you didn't tell them that instead that Easter is really about worshiping the goddess Ishtar. But instead, what we've decided to do as Christians is celebrate the rising of Christ and tell them about the Feast of the Passover and tell them how those connect together. So because we failed to do that, we lied. Thanksgiving time, we don't tell the whole story. We go and we cook ham and we cook turkey as if that's healthy for us, but that's a whole nother show I'll deal with later. But we go and cook all of these foods, and we have all our friends and family over, and we say, oh, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. That's not a bad perspective to take a day and think about what you're thankful for. But what I would challenge us to do is think about the origin of the holiday. What did it come from? What does it really mean? Imagine the genocide. Imagine the lives that were taken for us to turn around and slap those people in the face and celebrate a day of the Native Americans having their land stolen away from them. Imagine what we look like even within the black community celebrating something like that, knowing how rich our history was with us being taken away from the homeland, brought over to a land that we didn't know, still being raped, robbed, still being forced into slavery, and having atrocities happen to us, mass murder. Even right now, we're still under socioeconomic. We're still oppressed, let's say that. We still live in a state of systematic oppression. It's systematic slavery. So how can we as a people turn around and celebrate a day like Thanksgiving when it really was all about the slaughter of millions of people? People that live, they breathe, they bled, red blood, just like you and I. It's because really we lie. We lie. We buy into the commercialism of it. And then we buy all of these turkeys and we feed into all of this different commercialism and propaganda. But what are we really celebrating? Is it a holiday? Is it a holy day? So now let's go deal with Christmas, because Christmas is one of those times where people go into so much debt, my wife, ex-wife, she bless her heart, she's a sweet lady, and I don't tell this story out of trying to be mean. So if y'all see her out there somewhere and you happen to go tell her that I said this, I will repeat the story. I'm not the type of person that say anything behind a person that I couldn't say in front of them. But bless her heart, went out. She wanted to do the very best for her children, our children, right? And so thousands of dollars and charged it on her credit card, thousands of dollars, thousands of dollars. She spent a good amount of money going out and buying wrapping paper and boxes and all of this stuff. And we had like a garland around the tree, and we got this nice, beautiful Christmas tree, and every year we used to get, like, different trees and stuff like that, and oh my goodness, you know, the house would be so lit up, and now the electric bill is going up because we're running all these different lights, and oh my goodness, we so hook, line, and sinker she was. And then it took a while to climb up out of that debt after Christmas. It took a while for us to begin to recover, and we're robbing from Peter to pay Paul because now we got to make arrangements on that high light bill. And so here it is. We threw out a tree. Wasn't nothing wrong with it, but, you know, there's bad luck in keeping – watch this. You heard that? There's bad luck in keeping the same tree in 2 years. So there's a lot of propaganda, though. But what does all of this have to do with Christ? Well, the three wise men, they came and they gave Jesus gifts on the day that he was born and all of this stuff. Slap yourself. First of all, how do we know that there was three wise men? Well, it said the wise men, they brought gold, incense, and myrrh. That's three gifts, so it had to be three wise men. Slap yourself again. Harder. The reality is it don't say how many magi actually came. The Bible does not say it was three. It just says that they brought gold, incense, and myrrh. How do we know how many of them brought different gifts? So we need to, like, really dispel a lot of the misinformation from our Bible and actually, like, live according to the biblical standard. What is the Bible teaching us? We believe that Jesus' birthday would have probably been somewhere around July to September area. So why are we celebrating it in December 25th? Okay, you take December 25th to celebrate his birth. Well, if we're going to celebrate his birth, why don't we celebrate his birth? I used to tell my children, imagine if someone took the time to put out the expensive lights. They took the time to get the birthday cake. They took the time to have this glorious celebration where there was gift given involved. And on your birthday, everybody came and exchanged gifts to everyone else but you. I'm just having a little holiday talk. How would you feel? When are we going to give Jesus a gift for his birthday? You say that's what it's about. When are we going to deal with the truth and be truthful people and not let Santa Claus rob the cross? Saint Nick is a cute story, but we need to quit lying to our children and tell them the truth, because as we foster falsehoods within our community, within our families, what we do is we make our situations confusing, because they will call us out like, hey, wait a minute, hold on now. You remember that thing about the tooth fairy and the Easter bunny and bunnies don't even lay eggs in the first place? What about that? Those are something called lies. We can say they're little cute lies, and we don't want to take the children's childhood away from them. Perhaps why don't we tell them an awesome story? Is it better to tell them a story about a bunny that don't even lay eggs and send them on an Easter egg hunt? Or is it more miraculous to say, you know what, during this time we celebrate the time that a man who is both God and man, he stepped out of heaven just so he can live among us and so that he can die for you and I. He died for your sins. He loved you so much before you even came into this world physically. He already knew you way back then because he's God. He was God and man at the same time. And he loved you so much that he gave his life. He gave his life. He died. They tortured him just because he loved you so much. He wanted you to be without sin. So because you needed to be redeemed from your sin, he went up on the cross and he died. And then to prove that he was God, he rose. And because he rose, we celebrate. We celebrate him. When do we get back to that Jesus is the reason for the season? Imagine how much money we can save in our families if we did away with those Christmas trees. Now, think about how long we've been buying into the commercialism of Christmas. And I'm not saying don't get gifts. I'm saying why do we get swept away into the commercialism of it? The trees and the Santa Clauses and the Yuletide and the what's it called, the thing that you hold over your head and you kiss the thunder. I forget the name of it, but you know that thing, the mistletoe. So you know we do these things, but how does that tie back to Christ? How does it tie back to Christ? Is what I always have to challenge us to understand. And so here it is. We get beyond even that, and then we go into debt trying to satisfy the societal norm, what the masses are doing. We buy into the masses, but when do we buy into Christ? You know what one of the awesome things that we could do? One of the things that Jesus told us to do. He said, you know what? Love ye one another. Why don't we do that all the time? He says the most wonderful time of the year, and we say peace on earth and goodwill towards our fellow men. Why don't we have the heart to do that all the time? Jesus didn't pick just one time of the day, all about mission all the time, everywhere he went. And then let's even deal with commercialism in the church before I get ready to go off the air. Commercialism in the church. Come on, slap yourself. I believe if Jesus was here, he'd take the cords and he'd probably whoop most of us up out of the church, trying to build elaborate sanctuaries and trying to have a lot on the inside of the church, but neglecting what's going on outside in our communities. That's not the Jesus way, folks. When is God going to get what he wants from us, opposed to us creating something that's relativistic according to what we want? I know it's hard to hear because somebody got a tree up right now. I'm not telling you throw the tree out. I'm just challenging you to think a little bit deeper, think a little bit further. You already bought that tree. You already bought those gifts. Well, what about next year? Or what about the money you still haven't spent yet? What about the fact that you can't even afford it? And the Bible says count up the cost. Bible also says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man reap, that shall he also sow. So if you can't afford it and you steadily buying, what you're going to sow, you reaped your last dollar. So what you're actually going to sow is debt. Come on, somebody. You're going to actually find yourself in a situation where you compromise beyond your comfort. So in today's holiday talk, I leave you with this. Practice so much commercialism, propaganda. When are we going to get to the point where we not let society manipulate us? We don't let the masses manipulate us into spending our dollar. Because you really think about it, everything is really capitalistic. Everything is about that mighty dollar. As society, they look at different things to try to convince you to spend. They take time to study algorithms just so that they can convince you to spend your money or see what's different ways that they can get a hold to your money. Let's look at one of the things that we do as poor people. And come on, I heard, who is that? George Bush during his second election, during his second campaign, he said that if you made less than, I think it was $2.5 million a year, look at this, less than $2.5 million a year, that you were broke, you were poor. You were poor. There's no middle class. There's low class and there's upper class. If you made less than that, you were poor. So with our broke selves, one of the things that we do is we go out and we spend money. And we make the rich get richer, and that's one of the ways we buy into it. Christmas is not different, my friend. We go out and we make people richer. We make people that are already rich richer. And meanwhile, we're poor. We barely got enough. And what we say is we got enough money for right now, money that you could have saved, money that you could have invested, money that you didn't have to allow to leave your household, money that could have made you more financially sound and less stressed, less depressed, and ultimately it could even, because you are in a more stable position, you're able to focus more on the Christ. Look, I'm going to leave you with that for now. I pray that I've said something to help you think about what gift are you going to give Christ and think about the commercialism and capitalism that's involved in Christmas. Is it Christ's Mass, or is it just Christmas? Is it a holiday? Is it a holy day? And that's it for me for as far as my holy talk. Thank you for joining us on Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. God bless you, and we love you.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord. Cover me, Lord, with thy presence.